Backseat Box Office, episode number 45 for the weekend of July 29th through the 31st, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And this is Tim.
And we're the Backseat Producers. Welcome. This is Backseat Box Office.
So I have, rocking it out. I have two things.
Talk.
I'm just gonna cut you off.
We have business, vehicle. Jonathan? This is the vehicle talk podcast. Car talk.
Car talk.
Yes.
Car talk. Car talk. I got mine back. Woohoo!
Before I let you guys ask me questions, because apparently there are questions, I have two things. In the last 36 hours, I've spent 27 of those hours in a car, and that's given me a lot of time to listen to podcasts. And I heard for the first time my first episode of Funny Books.
Oh, boy. And
apparently it was last week's episode, not this week's episode. So it was the episode of the one following Harry Potter. And I got to say, I was really surprised that in a geek comic book podcast, Aaron starts off immediately with talking about hardcore pornography.
Why is that surprising?
Well, I mean,
this is the first time
I've ever listened to the cast. Oh. So,
Have you never met Aaron Head?
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. It was just weird because I didn't understand. First of all, it was old porn, which he was trying to. And I don't know if this is an inside joke with you guys that he's trying to pass off old porn as new porn that he's seen in the theater. Second of all, it's not even very good. And I forget what my third part of this joke
is. Are you talking about Midnight in Paris?
Oh, is that what it's called? Oh,
that's
shit.
Not porn. That's the new Woody Allen movie.
I thought it was One Night in Paris.
That changes the whole context of it, though, doesn't it? You need to get your speakers fixed.
It's no fun if nobody speaks up and goes, "You mean Midnight in Paris?" Anyway.
Well, I didn't get it at first because Aaron does love his porn.
Yeah.
So.
I was like, yeah, it's nothing new to hear Aaron talk about porn. So,
it was the best entrance into it that I could get. Like, I knew where it was going. Unfortunately, I figured it's my first episode, and in the first couple minutes, that was enough to set up that, you know, let me explain the joke a little bit further.
You do, please.
I don't actually remember what. Oh, my other point of business. That was actually my second point of business. My first point of business is I want to point out how much I love you motherfuckers, because I have spent the last 26 hours in a car. I got home 10 minutes ago. I have been pulled over by the state patrol. I have been stuck at the bottom of a hill, picked up by a dude with a shotgun, trudged through 100-degree heat to find the dude with the shotgun, slept on what must be the most uncomfortable bed on the entire planet, and I still decided that you guys were important enough to, you know, record with. So
you are one sexy mofo.
Chevy Chase is Jonathan Holmberg in Nash Lampoon's Kansas, Colorado vacation.
Kanserato vacation.
Kanserato.
I've decided to call it Kanserato because if you can't see the mountains, you're not really Colorado. I don't think we have anybody living out there, so I think I can say that without pissing anyone too much off.
Except for the one dude with the shotgun. I'll get that boy next time.
That guy was kind of cool, actually.
Now, Jonathan, I think the main question that's on my mind, I think maybe everyone's mind, is how exactly did your car get into a silt pit in the first place?
Well, I mean, honestly, it's kind of a boring story.
So lie and make it entertaining.
Keep in mind that at the end of it, I find $20. No.
Hey, always a win.
It was, I mean, the simple answer is I went down to the bottom of the hill and I thought I could turn around and it turned out I couldn't. The more complicated answer is that there was a pack of angry prostitutes chasing me. And
sorry about that, by the way. They got loose. Sorry about that, by the way. They got loose.
God, dude. I thought your pimp hand was strong.
To be fair, we had a power outage. The electrical fence went down. They climbed it. It happens sometimes.
You didn't check the backup generators?
It's taken care of.
Dude.
That was Andrew's job. He's been punished.
Diesel.
It's my job.
I don't know what that means, but diesel. Do that. Shit, get a hamster and a wheel to crank the generators to keep your posse in line. I mean, come on, something. Anyway.
Hamster's busy at Tony's house.
That's the hamster has fair. Other duties.
Is that a euphemism for his butt?
Diesel, Jonathan. I don't know what that means, but diesel.
Oh. So, Jonathan's car is stuck in silt. Tony's car is back. Tim, would you like to share about your car here on Car Talk with Tony, Jonathan, Tim, and Andrew?
You know, it's not as interesting as a silt pile. my car is at the mechanics because somebody turned left in front of me. And well, I'm proud to say I rolled a 20 because I got the shit out of that car. But, I was able to limp away. Minor victory.
I take it your car didn't survive the durability roll, though.
She's looking rough.
It took some subdual damage.
It limped back to the mechanic on its own, so it's a tough old bird. But
that's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, there it is. Not a silt pile. No angry prostitutes. Just one stupid guy in Wisconsin who decided that he thought he could actually drive in the state without an idiot trying to throw in front of him.
Well, clearly, I think you described to him, though, that your problem was that you went to the gym. That was your first mistake.
My first mistake was deciding to actually do the gym work today. The second mistake was trying to educate myself by going to the library. Failure on both counts.
You should not try to better yourself. Clearly.
Yeah, exercise.
Personal advancement is not...
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to wallow in my rut. Screw this. I had a car back then.
In an unrelated news, for no particular reason, I'm going to be biking to work tomorrow.
My bonus was at least it was a rental car, and I had insurance, because we were looking at it, and it's like, and Tony, you have a Charger, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I rented a Charger, and it turns out there's nowhere to hook a chain to on a Charger. They've got this big plastic thing that covers the entire underbody, and so we were like, I hope I can hook it onto this bit that's connected to the tire and it won't just rip out.
Yeah. And I was like, that was a good move.
Yeah. And I was like, thankfully I don't have to care if I rip the bumper off because I got the insurance on this bitch.
Jonathan's like, you're the professional, sir. Just go right ahead.
You have the chain and the shotgun.
By that tire and we're going to rip it out with my team of horses and we'll do it. Yep.
And the problem was is that I had some other mechanical issues with it that apparently just fixed itself by turning the car off and turning it back on, which is worrisome, but again, it's a rental, so what the hell do I care?
Was that the thing where it slips gears?
That's probably it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a known issue with Chargers. It's a bad sensor in the gear shifting. Yeah. So I'm familiar with this.
If I gun it, like go from 0 to 60 really quick, and then when I let off it freaks out. Is that the issue?
If you're going uphill at a steep incline, that can happen, especially after you first start the car.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, see, this was something where, like, it would be fine up until the point where I decided to drive it like a rental.
Oh.
And was just like, I'm at a complete standstill on a dirt road. Let me turn off traction control and just put the pedal to the metal and see how fast I can go.
No, you know what? Because I kind of drive mine like a rental, and it's not.
Yeah, and so I'd get up like...
To be fair, it's a charger.
Yeah.
How else are you going to drive it?
Yeah. So, like, I'd get up to 90 on a dirt road that I probably should have been doing 35 on. And then when I'd back down, like, if I was doing 60, the car would shudder. And then if I stopped, the car would shudder even more.
No,
and then, like, if it dropped into a lower gear, they hit the check engine light. But as soon as I turned the car off, it was fine. So I'm like,
that's well, you know what causes that? People driving it like a rental.
It's a rental.
just a little pro tip for all the listeners out there: just a rental does not work to get yourself out of a reckless driving charge.
Well, no, I'm still going to have to pay the fine for the 84 I got doing in a 65, but I was all right for the most part.
The car did it.
Yeah, I mean, I tried the whole, like, well, I was only... the problem was I couldn't even try any excuses because I rolled down the window and he's like, I clocked you doing 84 and a 65. You're getting a ticket.
Okay.
Like, okay. There was no, like, do you know why I pulled you over, sir? It was like, no, here's what you did. Here's why you're getting a ticket and done.
I look good so in this, like, car, though, don't I?
Yeah.
Have you looked around out here, buddy? There's nothing out here. I need to get the hell out of here as soon as possible.
That is actually entirely my mindset when I got pulled over, because I was like, I was on the, I had the way my work falls out is that you have different maps that you have to do. I had 30 maps for this area that I had to cover. And when I put 1,100 miles on this car in the last 2 days.
Wow.
And so I was on the east side, like the first part of the final map. I'd already been out there for nearly 24 hours, you know, had been in the car for close to 22. And I was like, I just want to get this done. And then I run out of gas. So I have to drive. I mean, I didn't run out, but I got to empty. Uh-oh. So I'm like, I had to drive the 20 miles back to town, 20 miles back out, and I was pissed. So I'm like, God damn it, I'm almost done. I could just be done, but don't I have to go get gas? So I'm like trying to get home and all this other crap, and so I might have been speeding. And
apparently you were doing 84. Cop looked
good in a Charger, too, because that's what they're driving out here.
Yeah. Now, so. it's funny. Because I have a dark metallic gray Charger, mm-hmm. and some of the cops around here have the same color, mm-hmm. but they have like all the markings and everything. Well, at night, when you pull up behind somebody, you have the profile of a cop car.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing. This
and
one
people
this
slow one down. Even, God damn it!
Dark. Like it was an undercover cop. So at first I'm like, hey, look, there's another dude in a Charger. Then I'm like, the dude in the Charger is turning around. Oh, crap.
Yep.
Yeah, that didn't end well. So.
Yeah, and I'm tooling down the highway going 70, 75 miles an hour and a 65, and all of a sudden the people that were in front of me, all of a sudden you just start slowing down. It's like, what the hell? Oh, you think I'm a cop? Wait. This is where the funny part happens, because then they pull out of the way, and they're going like 60 miles an hour, and you zip right by them. And then they have this look on their face like, oh, shit.
Oh, damn it.
You fly by them, and then they try to catch back up to you.
See, here's the thing, too, is I, like, the next time, since we're talking about cars, the next time I buy a vehicle, I am going to rent that thing. Like, whatever I'm interested in buying, I'm going to hunt it down and rent it and just drive the shit out of it for a couple of days. Because yeah. I found out, the last time I rented, I also got a Charger, but it was like a brand new Charger. It was like the 2012 Chargers.
Mm.
I don't know what model, what year you have, but the 2012 Charger versus the 2010 Charger that I drove today, that 2012 spanks the 2010 like hard.
Really?
Yeah, well, like
Did one have a V8 and one only have like a V6?
No, they both had V6s. Neither of them had a Hemi. They were both like, because they basically just give them the base model. And there, I don't know what bonuses they put in. Like there was a better in-dash stereo in the new one, but like just on the road, there may have been a couple of times where I was doing 65 behind somebody, and when I got back into lane after passing them, I was doing 120 in the new one, and it wasn't even in like. I didn't just intentionally stay in the left lane so that I could go that fast. It was just, I'm going to gun it and get around him as quickly as possible. And like a truck, I'd be doing 120 by the time I got back around.
Yeah.
And this one, and I don't know, maybe it's an engine issue that individual car has, but this one was not capable of that. It just couldn't handle it. I put the pedal down and it'd be like, well, maybe sometime.
That might have been an individual because mine doesn't react that way.
No, okay, could be.
Mine's an 09. So
I don't know.
Anyway,
doing the 4-man weave stall tactic because nobody wants to talk about movies right now.
No.
Hey, I have something about movies that we could talk about if you want to bring it back around.
Let's do it.
I was listening to. I ended up listening to. It ended up being serendipitous because I was listening to a couple of the Spielberg series of BSP. And I think it was, I listened to the first two. So I think it was Saving Private Ryan and Close Encounters.
That sounds right.
And then I also listened to Leon the Professional.
Mm.
And in the two Spielberg episodes, you kept talking about AI. AI kept coming up and I was doing the screaming at my stereo thing, like, why can't you remember that it's Kubrick that originally started the AI project?
I always remembered that and always made mention of it.
Not the first time. You and Daryl were talking about Close Encounters, and you both went on for like 5 minutes. Who did it? And then I was the one to remind you in the chat room.
Yeah,
but, that may have happened. Because honestly, I didn't even remember being in the chat room for that. But the point is, and then we get to Leon the Professional, and you start talking about like pedo stuff. And the reason why all of this matters is because over the weekend, I read this really interesting analysis of The Shining. And this guy's argument is that Kubrick has two plots. He has the main plot that, you know, like you, if you tell someone what The Shining's about, it's about a family that watches a hotel and the hotel drives the dude mad and he tries to kill his family. But then this guy says that Kubrick fills all of his movies, or at a certain point, I think starting with 2001, he has two plots running and one is entirely subliminal. His argument is basically that The Shining is not about a haunted hotel and it's not a horror movie. It is a straightforward tale about a child who has an abusive father who like sexually molested him, and that like all of the creepy horror scenes are either dreams or they're hallucinations that people are having based on trauma. And he goes through like exactly why you can argue that each of these things are that way and how certain things play out and all this other stuff. It's really kind of interesting. And I was curious, I've never seen AI, but I know that I've heard really mixed and almost bad things about it on occasion. Like it's kind of lost. And I was wondering if AI had issues because Spielberg only picked up the meta plot, like the overarching plot, and didn't fill in the subliminal plot.
That's an interesting question, because Spielberg really plays AI as, I've seen a fair amount of Kubrick films and I've seen a lot of Spielberg movies, and Spielberg has a lot of themes that he comes back to, and it very much feels like a Spielberg movie, but there are touches of it that are very Kubrick, like the fact that his companion is a sex bot. Yeah, that's a very Kubrick thing. That is not a Spielberg touch. that is not generally the way you see Spielberg going in a movie. Mm. But I always refer to AI as Spielberg's Pinocchio. Because it is very literally a retelling of Pinocchio.
Yeah.
I mean, they even have a character called the Blue Fairy. So, I mean, you don't get a whole lot more literal than that. Yeah, and there probably would have been... I can see where Kubrick would have gone with it, but Spielberg just took it in his own direction.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still... I think there was still a lot of Kubrick's hand in it. It's worth checking out. It'd be worth seeing an analysis on it on that level. I won't do it, but it'd be worth somebody else doing it. Get on that, Jonathan.
You know what else we should check in on?
Whatever Tim was about to say to me?
Yes.
Huh?
I don't know. Somebody said my name.
I think we woke him up.
It was Tony.
It was... Oh, okay.
I was cutting Tony off.
Like I said, I am the king of tangents tonight. I got another one, too. I got another one, too, but that one is wildly unrelated to anything. So let's talk about movies instead.
There we go. Let's check in on how the movies did at the box office.
Check out that transition there.
Bam!
That was a masterful transition.
Yeah! Captain America, the First Avenger, surprised me and almost everybody, picking up number one with $65 million. Much less than I thought I was going to do. I think it was around where Tony thought I was going to do. It actually came in a little bit less than Thor's opening weekend, which surprised me. But Harry Potter, number two, The Big Story, dropped 72%.
That was just, you know, Harry.
After it happened, it made complete sense why it happened. I completely understand why it happened.
Well, so, go ahead. Share with us real quick.
Everybody saw it. Everybody that had been waiting for 10 years.
Nobody wanted to go through it again.
Everybody that had been waiting 10 years to see this movie had to see it opening weekend because they didn't want to get spoiled. It's the same reason all you jackholes are out there reading the latest Dresden book and avoiding the internet because you don't want to get spoiled on stuff. So... I can't tell you how many people in my Twitter feeds and stuff like that are reading this damn book. And like, the book came out yesterday. It was released yesterday, on Tuesday. And there are a number of people that are done with it already.
I have been ignoring tweets from, Eric, Adam David, and Sarah, just for that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand the spoiler thing. To be entirely honest with you, like whenever there's a big surprise, you know, oh, Bruce Willis is dead. You know, whenever there's a big surprise like that, the more interesting thing to me anyway is going back through and seeing how did they set up the surprise? Was I, you know, and being to be spoiled on a surprise just lets you start from that position as opposed to having to do it twice.
But as marketing, surprises marketing is awesome because, like in the terms of Sixth Sense, it created a secondary market for itself. The way that movie was produced, and at the time, you didn't have an internet full of jackholes who are just going to go out there and spoil it, who are going to change their screen name to Bruce Willis is a ghost and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I love the moment of revelation when everything clicks in and you see something crazy happen, like, you know, find out that Vader is Luke's father. I mean, oh my God, that was a crazy moment. And if someone had spoiled that for me beforehand, it would not have had nearly that much.
Or when
impact.
Verbal Kent is hobbling away and then all of a sudden just starts walking.
Yep.
Good thing there wasn't Twitter back in those Star Wars.
No kidding.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
I don't know.
Well, if there was, you know what? If there was, there would have never been an empire. Seriously,
crumble the empire.
Empire Strikes Back would have never been made. Do you know how many people would have just ripped apart the first Star Wars movie?
You mean like all the prequels?
No. Well, yeah, exactly. They would have ripped apart Star Wars the same way they ripped apart the prequels.
Well, that's because the prequels were terrible movies on a fundamental level. But
yeah, but you can get outrageous and crazy about anything and be negative about it and give everybody else a negative impression about it if things aren't polished and absolutely perfect. If there's the slightest flaw, the internet hordes will jump on it and tear it apart.
Andrew, I'll tell you right now, I do not need to take negativity tips from you, buddy.
No, you're the master. I am but the student.
All right. So we got that established.
You know what? This brings up something that I saw earlier. It all comes back around to something that happened to me earlier in the evening. There's something that I saw on Google Plus earlier this evening. And it's a little YouTube clip. that the audio is the most important part of it. And I'm going to play it because I think it's relevant. Give me just a second to cue it up. And it's only 16 seconds long, so that's the beauty of it. It's not going to take long for this.
As I mentioned, don't Google Cole Phelps if you have any interest in what happens in L.A. Noir and don't want to be spoiled.
I don't want to be spoiled. So
also, don't Google Coldplay ever.
Ever.
That's just common sense.
Yep.
Okay.
And Nickelback.
Here we go.
It's okay to not like things. It's okay, but don't be a dick about it. It's okay to not like things. Don't be a dick about the things you don't like.
Can we get that as the new intro music for BSP?
That lady can kiss my ass.
I don't like that, and I'm going to be a dick about it.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into some kind of trouble for playing that if anybody listened to the show and that it mattered to, other than the people that are competing, and they won't care because they're going to be focused on finding out how everybody did. How did everybody
do? They're also focused on finishing out with all the top five.
Oh. That is a excellent transition, Tim. So, yeah, number two, we had Harry Potter.
I was going to ask another question.
Nope. At number two, we had Harry Potter 7, part 2, 47.4 million, down 72%. Number three, we had Friends with Benefits debuting with 18.6 million. Transformers dropped to number four with 12 million. And Horrible Bosses dropped to number five with 11.8 million. And I believe, I haven't looked at the results, but let's say, Tony, how'd you do?
I did fairly well, all things considered, considering most of us did exactly the same and got a 22 for the week. My only mistake was I overestimated Harry Potter. I picked it at number one. It was actually number two. Captain America, I picked it at number two. It was actually number one. Everything else I had right.
And Tony copied my picks last week, so what he said goes for me also. Jonathan.
Nobody actually cares, because I have another question. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the Tallulah clip that we have. It's fantastic. But I was listening to the T and Pip episode. Now, why haven't I heard any of the Philip Ballantyne clips from the end of that show? Because we need some New Zealand loving on this show.
That's true. I need to go back and clip some of that. Thank you for reminding me.
You know that David has that on perpetual loop in his bunk.
Yes.
I don't understand why we're not opening like with one and closing with the other. I don't know why we still have theme music when we have both clips.
New Zealand loving is that like a point. Euphemism for sheep porn?
No, that would be Wyoming loving.
Speaking of using those clips, have you guys listened to any of the episodes of Backseat Quickies yet?
Yeah,
a couple. Right.
So the end of every episode, Scott has created outro music that is Tallulah's clip of the swoon, and then him basically jumping up and down on his bed so it squeaks.
Is that how he made that
Yes.
sound?
He's like, I've got a really squeaky bed. I'm going to record it. I said, that's brilliant.
I need to send him I can make him a clip that he can intersperse as well.
That's fantastic. I've
just thought of a good one that he can use. And I'll annoy my neighbors at the same time.
Beautiful.
Anyway, I think I got a 20.
Yes, you did.
I replaced something with something and the same thing that we did. And what'd you get, Tim?
I copied off your sheet.
Off of mine?
I think so.
Oh, that was a terrible.
I got a 20. Yeah, no doubt. I take some small solace in the fact that Thor beat out Captain America for opening weekends. But
But by what? I think a million, 1.7, something like that?
Yeah, so I picked Harry Potter, Captain America, flipped those, Friends with Benefits, and then I bought your Horrible Bosses take, Jonathan, so I picked that fourth.
I do not regret any of my picks.
I'm not blaming you.
I'm not saying you are. I'm just saying, as far as it goes, I got a 20 this week. We got a 20 this week, but I stand behind my reasoning for all of those, and the Horrible Bosses versus what have you is only less than $200,000 apart. So that could have very easily flip-flopped. Yeah. So I still feel like logic continues to something.
Well, you know, I'll let anybody who's above me in the rankings razz me about it. So, I like that.
Even Jeff Bailey?
That guy's not here.
We could probably get him on. Let's see if he's on Skype.
Jonathan can get him to call in just like that.
Yeah, I'm sure, actually, we could get him online.
You don't want that right now. I'm totally okay costing my, you know, my own podcast a listener. I don't want to do that to Tony. He's a good guy.
So we've got not one, not two, but three new movies this week.
Oh, my.
Yes.
My brain has locked up.
Katy Perry in Avatar.
What?
Yeah, it's Katy Perry playing a blue person.
I got it now.
Oh, crap. I didn't take the Avatar contingents into consideration here.
No, it's written in pen. I'm done.
We desperately want anything that has to do with blue people.
Blue?
Those of them that haven't committed suicide because the Navi don't exist.
Pandora's not real. I must end my life.
Yeah.
My shallow existence.
Please do. Just.
I'm going to choke myself till I turn blue.
Let me give you a tip. Buy the bullet, rent the gun, get it over with.
I would have choked myself by now. I would have hung myself, but I don't have a prehensile tail to do it. This world sucks.
Yeah.
Hashtag cry about it.
So we've got Neil Patrick Harris, Katy Perry, bunch of other people debuting in the Smurfs. It's in 3,200 plus theaters. I'm gonna see it eventually because my wife is horribly nostalgic for the Smurfs, but she straight out admits she's just horribly nostalgic for the Smurfs, and it may be a horrible, horrible movie.
Maybe
NPH is in it though.
NPH, I do like NPH
because NPH has never done anything bad in his life. I mean,
yeah,
he's a voice.
Like he hasn't done anything for. No, he's not a voice.
He's actually in it.
He's in it.
Yeah,
this
he's
is
in
a,
it.
Oh, I forgot it's a live action.
It's live action. Yeah. And he is the live action in it.
And Hank Azaria is Gargamel, which is brilliant.
Hank Azaria looks like Gargamel. He looks like a cartoon character.
That the doesn't change any of my feelings about this movie.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's going to do good. I'm not going to put Smurfs at number three. But
Link is... Oh.
But I do think... But I do think I'll end up seeing this movie, so for what it's worth. It's going to be Smurftastic, I've been told.
Hey, Smurf that movie.
Papa Smurf, tell us about Cowboys and Aliens.
Who are you talking about?
Who's the oldest person on the show?
I guess that's me. So
you are correct.
I wasn't sure if you were just being oddly sexual with me or referring to Tony. If this was like some inside
joke.
Both
of those things were about me. And I'm fine with that.
I'm angry, Smurf.
As long as I'm not. Is there one?
Yeah, I think so. So we've got Angry Smurf, Big Hand Smurf, Papa Smurf, and Andrew Smurf. Andro Smurf.
Andro Smurf. There you go.
Nice.
All right. So Cowboys
Smurf
and Aliens
with a question mark.
Yeah. So Cowboys and Aliens features James Bond, Indiana Jones, and Korra from Tron.
And don't forget Iron Man. John Favreau, director of Iron Man.
Well, yeah, and the Iron Man's director directing the aliens attacking the Wild West.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, directing the computer screen. Go now.
Done. Yeah, I'm actually seeing people who I guess have seen advanced screenings of it that I follow on Twitter and stuff, and they're like real people and not, you know, those asshole movie critics, those guys who like talk about movies every week.
hate those guys.
There are people that are like liking on this movie. So
this may be a movie I see this weekend.
I don't know if I'll see it this weekend, but Julie is going on a business trip tomorrow and the kids are staying out of the house. And if there's a midnight movie, I might not have anything else to do tomorrow night. That said, there, Cowboys and Aliens. Not Cowboys versus Aliens, which I'm sure I've called it a couple times by now.
Well, and then we've got Crazy Stupid Love, which I think the title says it all.
Steve Carell and what's the other guy?
Ryan Gosling.
That guy.
Julianne Moore and Emma Stone.
And Marissa Tomei.
And Kevin Bacon.
I
didn't realize she was in it.
I think if anything, I would see this movie for Marissa Tomei.
And Emma Stone.
Marissa Tomei.
Okay. My Cousin Vinny fan?
Yes.
Fair enough. It's opening in 2,900 theaters, and I don't really have anything else to say about it.
How many theaters is Cowboys and Aliens opening in?
It's in 3,700 plus.
Where are all these screens coming from? Goodness. I should say all these theaters.
Well, you know, I have a feeling Transformers is going to shed theaters pretty quickly this week. I mean, it's been out for about, this will be its fifth week out. It's down to 3,300 theaters. I have a feeling it's probably going to drop off by about 1,100 theaters this week.
Harry Potter too, because clearly nobody wants to see that shit.
Yeah, I'm sure. You see, I think the number of screens for Harry Potter is going to drop off dramatically, but I don't know about the number of theaters dropping off dramatically.
I don't know. 4,300, almost 4,400, 3 weeks in, that's a lot.
I don't know why any of you are taking that comment seriously.
Okay. I'm taking it seriously.
You said it very deadpan. I thought you were serious.
I thought I laughed right at the end of it.
You laugh all the time, so what does that matter?
Oh, God damn it.
In fact, I don't really...
Learn to understand the dry wit laugh versus the nervous laugh versus... I don't know.
Zookeeper is in 3,200 theaters?
I mean, to be honest, Jonathan, I don't even hear your laugh anymore, but when I see it on the screen, I hear it then in my brain. But I don't hear it when you actually laugh. I have to see the waveform, and then I hear it.
You need the spikes.
The spikes. I need the visual cue.
That is fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think Zookeeper is going to shed a lot. I think Horrible Boss is going to shed a lot. I'm going to think Cars 2 is going to shed a lot. Heck, Bad Teacher's still in 2,000 theaters. It's been out for, this will be its sixth week out.
You know what I love? Is you guys totally played into my delay tactic. By talking are you going about first? Shedding theaters. No, you are. Oh, wait.
I didn't say a word. I was smart on that.
Is that also part?
Was a delay tactic?
No. Actually, you had the best score last week, Andrew. And since we are tied, we go back to the previous week's score for the order of giving picks. So, Andrew, yeah. You are first.
All right. Fair enough. I do believe Cowboys and Aliens will top Captain America this week. I don't expect Captain America to drop 72%, but it's going to have a pretty good size drop off. And Cowboys and Aliens is getting a good bit of buzz. So I think it'll bring enough to bring in number one spot. I think Captain America will come in number two. I think Harry Potter will remain at number three. I think Crazy Stupid Love is going to open at number four. And oh yes, I'm putting the Smurfs at number five. Take that as you will. Tony.
I don't think we have any picks the same.
Great.
I am going to show more faith in the good captain than I showed last week. And I am going to say that Captain America is going to stay in first. I think Harry Potter will come in second because I don't think there will be the strong drop off. As strong as it was before. And Cowboys and Aliens, there's been so many people snickering about that title. And regardless of the fact that it's Jon Favreau, and regardless of the fact that it was a comic book property, and regardless of everything else, I think that in the mainstream, it's weird enough that I just don't see a lot of people going out opening weekend and seeing it. I could be very wrong about that, and I could pay that price dearly. But the beautiful thing is the leaderboard resets in about a month. So I'm willing to roll the dice.
Let's just say you'll pay less dearly if it's in first place than some of us will pay if it's in third place.
That's true.
You probably have a better bet there.
Yeah. And then I'm going to say Smurfs in fourth. There's not a strong young child movie out right now. I don't think Winnie the Pooh pulled in a strong audience. And I don't think it has the same nostalgia that the Smurfs does for a lot of people. Andrew, you mentioned that your wife has a nostalgia for it.
Yep.
I don't personally, but I know of people that do and we'll go see it just for that. Plus, I've actually heard of people wanting to go see it just because Katy Perry plays a voice in it, which is kind of an odd thing for me.
Disgusting.
That's weird.
That's very odd.
That's not odd. That's disgusting.
No, what's most odd about it is Katy Perry's voice sounds nothing like Smurfette's voice.
I don't remember what...
She had the really high squeaky voice.
Didn't they all have really high squeaky voices?
No, no.
Okay. No, Hefty's had his balls descend. He was okay.
He'd already true. Dropped.
That is true.
That's why he was Hefty. He walked around kind of weird.
Kind of swaggered.
A little bow-legged.
Yeah.
And then Crazy Stupid Love. I'm going to call that fifth. Crazy picks. Crazy Stupid picks. That's my theme of the week.
Oh, you haven't heard mine yet.
So let's hear your picks, Jonathan.
Well, for me, the issue is going to be, once again, how badly is Harry Potter going to drop off? Like, is it going to...
95% drop off this week. You heard it here first, folks.
Is it gonna flip around and do a 30%, or is it going to drop another 60%?
Were you not listening to me?
No, I actually wasn't. I much like you can't hear my laugh, half the time I can't hear you at all.
That's fair.
And I don't ever see the waveform, so really it's just like I kind of think every once in a while I'm doing a two-man podcast.
I completely understand where you're coming from, Jim.
Anyway, crap.
You don't know, you okay there, Jim?
Yeah, so, all right.
He's back in the silt.
The mental morass of silt.
Yeah, that was not that. It was worse than being stuck in like deep snow. It was like it because you. I never found solid ground. So
that's weird.
It was bad. Like, thank God that the closest house was only 2 miles away instead of like 40. But anyway, and that a dude in a broken down truck with a shotgun on it came driving up. Anyway, the point here is that I'm pretty confident. I don't know. I feel like Cowboys and Aliens is going to.
You almost said Cowboys and Indians.
Well, and I'm 95% to 98% certain they intended that. I mean, Aliens and Indians.
Oh yeah, that's the joke.
I know. So there you go. You know, I think you get James Bond with Han Solo fighting aliens directed by Iron Man. You know, it's like these are all huge people and huge names, and they've been pushing it for a while, and I think it looks good, and I think it's going to do well. So I'm with you, Andro Smurf, on Cowboys, and then Cap.
That's Smurftastic, Jim.
My problem is I don't know what the hell to do with the Smurfs.
La, 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 la.
You put them in a pot, apparently.
No, it's Gargamel.
That would be... why they, bother with the pot?
They are only the thing three that I don't understand. Stall.
Why do you put them in the pot alive? Why not just get the shotgun out? Like, each individual pellet in a round should be like a full-on bullet through the head, right?
You gotta chew them up and you gotta spit out the pellets. It's annoying.
Oh, come on. It can't be that... People clean off like quail and shit.
Yeah, I mean, have you done that? It sucks.
How badly do you want your Smurf dinner, you know?
Not that badly.
Apparently he hasn't got to step two of Smurf hatred.
Well, and that's what I'm saying.
Step one, put the Smurfs in a pot. Step three, eat the Smurfs. He's missing something there.
If this dude's diet consists of Smurfs, he's got to be getting pretty hungry. And I would think that by the point you get that hungry, you would start to get a little bit desperate and start thinking, maybe I should just start killing them straight away, and that way they won't keep escaping.
Or eat the cat.
Why does he hunt them?
Probably because he's magical or something.
Berries, some goofy stuff.
He's evil.
You dickholes are making me look this shit up on Wikipedia.
I haven't seen the Smurfs in 18 years, man. What
Smurfs was about. Jesus, dude. Anyway.
The MacGuffin, Tony. How's that?
Because, I mean, my problem is I think that there hasn't been a good kids movie, much as that pains me to say.
Winnie the Pooh.
Kick you in the face. Cars 2 was the last successful kids movie. Winnie the Pooh. See, the thing about Winnie the Pooh, and
this is where I, like I said, I let nostalgia get in the way of common sense, you know, typical, just standard human whatever. Because Winnie the Pooh opened in 2000 theaters and was an hour long and didn't even have that many showings. Like, as soon as I saw all those factors and it, like, we had argued enough that I had kind of gotten nostalgia out of my... I'm like, shit, I am screwed. So, but I mean, the Smurfs is... It's animated. It's in a bunch of theaters. It's in nearly 1,000 more theaters than Winnie the Pooh. It's actually getting marketed. It's not opening the same weekend as fucking Harry Potter. You know, it could do well, but I don't know if it can do as well as Potter. So... screw it. I'm putting Smurfs at number 3.
Pardon me?
Yeah.
I think it's Mr. Holmberg's term to be big ballin'.
Harry Potter at number 4 and Crazy Motherfuckers at number 5.
Did that just happen?
Yep. That just happened.
You know what? I wrote it down in pen.
Wow. So, for the record, Gargamel is trying to collect Smurfs because they are an essential ingredient in making a potion that will make gold. And
how much money does this motherfucker have that he can just spend all of his time hunting down Smurfs and failing?
And all the Smurfs originally were all male. He created Smurfette.
For what?
That explains why.
Yeah, to lure in the male Smurfs.
No.
That entirely explains why they're all blue.
Well, yes, yes, but no. If he can make Smurfs,
had women,
sure,
blue balls.
But if he can make
funny it, because they're blue and the phrase is blue balls.
But if Gargamel,
oh my god, I didn't realize the comic genius that was Jonathan Holmberg in a Smurf joke. I feel so much better about myself now.
But if Gargamel,
I just wanted to keep interrupting Andrew. That's all.
If Gargamel can make Smurfs, why does he need to catch them?
Because
maybe he needs the male Smurf nuts.
There you go.
He needs blue balls to make.
All right, we're done.
You've heard of Rocky Mountain oysters, right?
We're done with this.
Tim, what do you got? You're on the show. You have to make your picks now. You can't wait to the weekend.
Yeah, see, you know, the funny part is the benefit of only being a part-timer is usually I can listen to you jackholes tell me, you know, what you think and then take the best parts or the worst parts, like last week, and use them. But this week, I don't think it's going to matter because everybody's feeling a little different about it.
Yeah, it's ugly this week.
Yeah, this week is going to be bad.
I'm fairly confident in number 1 and 2. I've got Cowboys and Aliens as number 1 and Captain America at number 2. And as far as the other three, I think you can kind of throw a dart depending on how audiences feel.
Mm-hmm.
I put Crazy Stupid Love at number 3. I just looked at the returns for Friends with Benefits and said, well, I could probably make about that. Maybe a couple mil less. I think that'll be the bar for third. I put Harry Potter in 4th because I'm not getting burned by him dropping like a dead-ass stone again more than I think I'll get burned. And that would put me Smurftastic at number 5.
Interesting.
Smurfity Smurf.
I Smurf that podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, never mind.
There is one part in the preview where Neil Patrick Harris is yelling at them about why they always say Smurf, and he just starts like stringing the word Smurf together in various ways. And when he gets done, all the Smurfs are looking like their mouths open, their hands on their cheeks like, don't talk like that. Anyway, so that's the comic genius that is the Smurfs.
Yeah, it'll get 5th.
Yeah, no, it'll get 3rd, no problem.
Jonathan? It might.
It's gonna do worse
than Winnie the Pooh is doing right now.
It's gonna Dylan Dogus.
It's gonna Dylan Dogus.
Oh, I hope not. I got it at 4th. I really hope not.
What the hell ever? I got it at 3rd. Look, if Smurfs does horribly, I'm the one that gets screwed here. So
the most.
I don't think Smurfs will get lower than 7th. I think that's pretty safe to say.
That's only four points, right?
That's not so bad.
I thought it was pretty safe to put Take Me Home Tonight number 5. Yeah, that didn't work out, Relativity.
Oh, God. Smurfs isn't... Is Relativity giving any money to Smurfs?
Probably.
Wait a minute. What did you put Smurfs at?
Number 5.
I'm glad I didn't put it at number 5 then.
But is it going to be number 1 or number 12? That's the question, Tony.
I always just bet against you.
The lower you've put it on your list, that means the higher it's going to be.
That's what that stupid, the face.
Oh,
shit.
Limitless.
Guys, Relativity didn't give any money to the Smurfs.
Uh-oh.
Crazy, stupid love?
You wish.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Aliens?
Yeah.
Booyah!
Well, and we're all screwed.
Not me.
Yeah.
Not this Andrew, guy. I have it in Andrew, third.
If this flops because of your Relativity curse, I am so going to kick you in the face.
I will take the blame if that happens.
You're going to take the boot in the face. Is what you're gonna
take. I'll take the boot of blame to the face.
I'm going
to
make you review Scrooge McDuck on the next Funny Books if that happens.
Ooh, are they starting a Scrooge McDuck series?
Shut up.
Because I'm really enjoying Power Rangers. No, not Power Rangers. Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
Wow. Those two things are not alike.
Different, just as mentioned.
Yep.
Wow. Because I was going to have to hate you if you enjoyed Power Rangers.
Ooh, you said you're going to have to hate me. You don't hate me. That's the sweetest thing Jonathan Holmberg's ever said to me. Or implied about me.
No, right now it's a voluntary hate.
If that happens, it's no longer voluntary. Yeah, no.
At that point, it's no longer voluntary.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. It's,
I just got to say, I'm excited to see what's going to happen this week. And do we have anything else we want to close out on?
I've got a question. I've got one question before we go.
All right.
It is about time that we had an interesting week. I'll say that.
Yeah. This will be that. Andrew, are you sure you don't want to edit this week's podcast?
If you need me to, I can. No. Do I want to? No.
And then finally, I think I have a new sign-off for the podcast.
All right, lay it out.
It's okay to not like things, but don't be a dick about it.
Brilliant. Tim, you got anything you want to add?
Thanks for having me on. Is that what you were aiming for, Andrew?
Nah, I just said if you wanted to plug anything, man, really.
Oh, listen to Funny Books. There you go.
Bam. Well, thanks for being on,
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Yep.
And if you can't be good, be safe.
See ya.